is calling you into a confident rest. You say, God, I know with you all things are possible. I know with you the only result is victory. That is all. And I can, even though there may be a battle surrounding, maybe there's things happening, but I can so confidently know that I can rest. That God, with you, winning is guaranteed. And I know and I fully trust that, God, you will do what you have called out to do. You will fully accomplish it. The problem is when we take ourselves out of confident rest and enter into a place of striving, we become sleepless. We become confused. We come at strife. It's like we become frustrated. It's like, God, what are you doing? Where are you? It's like, just enter into my confident rest. Trust me. Trust me. So we fully trust you, Lord. We can... sit back fully confident, knowing that you have already won the war. You are always victorious. So whatever battle you are in, enter into his rest. Enter into his rest. That was extra. That was just for you. Again, rest is not just I give up. Rest is knowing where you are seated. Says, with him we are seated in heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places with him. So we can rest knowing where we are seated. With full confidence. Just for you guys. I got an interesting, maybe not interesting, but I got a word for you this morning. And this is how the Lord works in me. And so I'll probably tell you the story of what the Lord has been doing in us, but all week I was like, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? He was like, don't worry, just open your mouth. I'm like, okay, that's what I usually do. But on the way here, he gave me one line that opened up an invitation to something. And that one line, he says, where are my wild ones? John the Baptist. I came out of the wild, looked crazy. Where are my wild ones? And I continued to write, and he said, where are the ones who are led by the impulses of the Spirit? Who will walk in their identity as beloved sons and daughters? Where are the ones whom all creation is waiting for? Where are the ones who will cut the head off the giants of our day? Where are the ones who would tear down the strongholds of religion? Where are my burning ones? I declare to you today, it's time to come out of hiding. It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to burn once again. And then he spoke, he said, these wild ones are emerging and lead the way into the next great awakening. These wild ones are emerging and will lead the way to the next great awakening. Who don't feel like they fit. They feel like a square peg in a round hole. Where are you? It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to burn again. It's time to burn again. The Lord spoke to me, and actually creation prophesied to me this summer. I was working out in a place that was continually surrounded by wildfires. Did we have wildfire season this year? But the Lord spoke. He says creation is prophesying right now. Creation is prophesying that we're going into the season. We're going to see the wild ones burn again. We're going to see people walk in the fire of God. And I began to see his finger being stir in this big thing of ashes. And his finger was in there, he was stirring. And all of a sudden you began to see through the stirring that embers would begin to appear. And all he had to do, and we know this oh so well, it takes one little gust of wind, and that ember turns into a flame. One breath, one gust of wind, and you'll be a raging, burning fire again. So I want to prophesy over you who felt like they were hidden under ashes. The Lord has been stirring you because he wants to reveal the embers once again. The things that you burned for before are coming back again. And all he's going to do is to watch you burn. The wild ones awake. Wild ones come out of hiding. This is your time. This is your appointed time. It's time to come out of hiding. It's time to allow the Spirit to blow over you, in you, through you. It's time to rage with a passionate love that will never go dim. It's your time. It's time to arise, my wild ones. You know what's amazing is that it does not know age. The Lord does not look upon you with age. He looks upon you as embers to blow into again, to burn again. Lead the way for the next generation. To be a signpost for the next generation. Oh, this is what it looks like to burn for the Lord. This is what it looks like to abandon, to surrender everything else in pursuit of Him. We need you. I just want to tell you what the Lord has been doing in us this last little while. You know, I've been a part of the church for a long time. And the church is beautiful. The church is wonderful. I love it. But I've always known from ever since I was younger, I was set apart for something. I was like that square peg in a round hole. And we've done things that would seem like it should be sufficient. We've planted a worship center. We've planted a church. We've been part of ministries. We've seen God move in mighty ways. I've been to Africa. I've been to India. I've done a lot. But even through it all, the Lord would continue to speak and say, this is not it. And I'd go look and I'd go to this place like, this is not it. And I'd go here and we'd plant this church like, this is not it. And maybe for other people that this is it, and that's amazing. And I love you and I bless you in it. But for me, He says, this is not it. And so all through that time, there's so many things that you can do and think and be like, okay, God, like, what am I supposed to do? Where do I feel like I'm at home? When can I finally say, this is it? And not long after, the Lord invited us into radical surrender. It's like, in all these questions and all these wonderings and all these ponderings, and maybe in the midst of confusion, maybe some frustration, it's then the Lord. Then the Lord brought us into radical surrender. And we've been learning to live surrendered the last 2 years. For 2 years, we've been learning what a life surrendered truly looks like. Where we laid everything at his feet. All of our dreams, all of these visions, and absolutely everything we laid at his feet. And in the place of surrender, we stepped away from everything. Everything. And that's what I was saying earlier, is like, this is one of the first things that we've done in a very long time. Because we've been in a place of radical surrender. And I want to say it's been one of the greatest times of my life. Because when we entered into that place of surrender, we could just sit and tangibly feel the arms of the Father wrapping us in His love. We could feel His jealousy for us. And that's where we remained. And that's where we'll continue to sit, is in that place of absolute surrender. Just being in His love. And in that place of love, something beautiful happened. The Lord began to speak to our innermost being that You are My beloved child. You are My beloved child. And that so radically wrecked us. And it pierced our so innermost being that we are His beloved child. And that's, in that moment, was the fullness of identity. In that moment, I didn't care to be anything else. I didn't care to be a grandiose speaker or a missionary or a church planter or this or that. It did not matter. It's like, I am His beloved. I am His beloved. And that's all I need. Everything else is just beautiful. Everything else is like a cherry on top. But out of that discovery of just being beloved, it's like a wellspring of life explodes within you, where you feel the living waters just begin to pour wherever you go. Which whatever avenue He's called you. But it took one thing for us, was just to rest. To confidently rest in His presence. To rest in His arm. To rest in His jealousy for us. And just be His beloved. And learn just to be. And I want to tell you that the Lord has begun to pour out radically upon our lives. The things that we've always desired to see happen. The things that we've maybe strived for in the past. Instead of it becoming my effort, it now has changed into an inheritance. Instead of me striving for it, He's like, here you go, my beloved. Here you go, my beloved. He wants to give it to you so bad. In a practical way, I want to share something with you. If you leave here with anything, I began to live my life through two pillars of thought. Now, these two pillars of thought, everything must flow from. And I'm sure you've heard them all before. One is, God is always good. The second one, He just loves me way too much. And He loves me with the same furious love as He loved His Son. Those are my two pillars of thought for which everything must flow. And we went through, we had started a coffee roasting business, and we had a shop and everything. After 2 years of being in that space, we slowly went behind with the overhead and all those things. And I was just like, God, You are way too good, and You love me way too much. And as the bills are piling up, It's like, God, you are too good. You love me way too much. And so in the beginning of the year, I ended up going to work for a company that I worked for probably a decade. And they're like, we need you. We'll pay you good. I'm like, thank you, Lord. So we got this good job. But even in construction work, you never know when you're going to get paid. Being a contractor and stuff. And so the bills are piling up. And we were just at work. We were working late. And I was like, it was almost to the day, I believe, where it's like, we got to pay some of these or I don't know what's going to happen. But I continued all throughout the day. I was like, God, you are way too good. And you love me way too much. And no word of a lie, that day, the general contractor, which you usually have to fight to get money from both general contractors. But he walks in, and it wasn't even payday. It wasn't even anything. He walks in, and he's like, do you guys want some money? I was like, yes, please. And what's even crazier now is I now own that business. I now own that drywall business that I went back to work for. Why? Because he is way too good and he loves me way too much. And now we're living in abundance. We're living in his extravagance. That's who he is. That is who our God is. He is the God of abundance. He's a God of extravagance. And he's way too good. And he loves you way too much for this to be it. Our lives completely changed in that place of surrender. The Lord began to speak to me. He's like, that's actually what... It's like, I have taken you into the wilderness. Who knows Jesus was taken into the wilderness? The wilderness is not a negative thing. What did Eden look like? Probably looked like a wilderness. But in that place of feeling like you're in this wilderness, like, just God began to provide. God began to wrap with his love. It's just like he was there with us through it all. It's in the wilderness is where you learn to be a wild one. It's where you can so confidently be a square peg. And you can bless the round holes. It's where God would say, this is who I am. So often we are like, well, God, I think you're like this. And maybe you're like this. And maybe you're like this. This is always who I've perceived you to be. But in the place of absolute surrender, you begin to discover, God, say, this is who I am. Your time. Where are my burning ones? It's your time. Where are my giant slayers? There's heads that need to roll. Jesus, okay?
John, can I just add one thing?
You sure can.
And in that extravagant love that we experienced, that extravagance, that wasn't just finances. That was a change of perspective of what extravagance and riches looked like. It wasn't just we had enough, but we had the love of our Heavenly Father that instilled an extravagance within us that almost seemed to make other things not matter so much. We are blessed, but our perspective changed. And God has taken care of us and always has taken care of us. But our lives are radically different now, both financially and in so many different ways. But His extravagant love isn't always just in finances, but it's in understanding who we are as His beloved, understanding our identity in Him. And it comes from understanding that we are worthy, that we are valued. And that value comes from the price that He was willing to pay for us. That's all.
This is the title of this bit of scripture. It says, sons and daughters of the sons and daughters destined for glory. It says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. But you have received the Spirit of full acceptance, enfolding you into the family of God. And you will never feel orphaned. For as He rises up within us, our spirits join Him saying the word of tender affection, Beloved Father. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us. And He whispers into our innermost being, You are God's beloved child. You are God's beloved child. You are God's beloved. So, Father, I just thank You that we can confidently rest in the reality of what it is to be a beloved son. Father, I thank You that You are stirring the embers. Father, I thank You that You are burning in Your children once again. Father, I thank You that You are awakening the wild ones in this room today. Father, I thank You for Your love. Father, I thank You that says You will never leave us nor forsake us. So, Father, I just pray that we would learn to rest in You. We will learn what confident rest looks like. Fully trusting that You have already won the war. That there's only victory. That nothing is impossible. 10 more sermon ideas sitting there. So I'm not going to start them now, except what Anna said about extravagance. Oh, did that touch me? God is extravagant, but he's not wasteful. You know, extravagance isn't about excessiveness. It's about the best. God doesn't give you excessive. He gives you the best. Before he sent his son, how did they cover sins? With sheep and rams and doves and one more I can't remember. How many cows? How many hundreds of them? How many thousands of them? How many millions of them? Until God's like, I have an extravagant solution. And it wasn't more of them. It was the best. The best. So if you're in a situation like John was, looking at stacks of bills, or if you're in a heartbreak type of thing where it's like, oh, I just plead for my loved ones who just won't see it. Whatever that is, with what Amanda talked about, fear at the start, whatever has you burdened. Stop telling God what you need. Stop telling God what you need. Come on, we do that. God, I need this, 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 and this. And just seek him for his extravagance. Because he has the best solution in mind for you. Amen. Amen. I was sitting there at the beginning, and John snapped me out of it when he talked about the religious people. So I was like, when's he going to start preaching? When's he going to start preaching? He brought a Bible. When's he going to open and read from it? And God said, Paul didn't have a Bible. Come on. John didn't have a Bible. They referenced the scriptures, but they wrote it. So go and write your holy word. Go and write the sequel to the Bible. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, you guys. That was great. I pray God bless you and keep you. If you have any needs, please come and talk to me or John or Amanda. Well, talk to anybody, really. But don't leave unless, if you feel you didn't quite get what you expected, let us know. Because God's the best.